Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Players Experience Podcast, the series finale. On today's episode, we welcome in TSN broadcaster James Duffy. We talk with James about his work on TSN, how he got the nickname Mr. Forbes, his some of his favorite moments of his broadcasting career, from the Masters to the Grey Cup to even the Super Bowl coverage and many more, and what his favorite journey is, kind of how he got into broadcasting and some of his favorite memories. Again, thank you to all the sponsors that have been with us for the entire journey and all of you, the fans, for tuning into this. We're excited to have you tune in for the series finale. So, without further ado, let's get James on and start talking about his broadcasting career. Hey, James, how's it going today?
Good, Ryan. How you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for taking the time. First off, you got to show us the pup. How's the pup doing?
He heard his name, I think. This is Hugo. I'm
Oh, so cute.
he's my French bulldog, and I'm not using him as a prop. It's just that he was being very loud right before you called me, so I figured I could control him on my lap more, but he'll probably be jumping down in a couple of minutes. But he's pretty much yeah, you hear me talking about you. He occupies most of my time when I'm not on television, frankly.
Love it. Hey, we love a good cameo, so it's all good. We'll hop right into it. Obviously, you've been around TSN, you've gotten into broadcasting for a while. When did you know you wanted to become a man on the screen in broadcasting?
That's a great question. I think that if I was to go back, I probably, in my teens, I think that I was one of those guys who would turn down the TV and, do the play-by-play myself on some football games and some hockey games. And so I suppose there was a little seed planted there, although I'm not really sure that I was, smart enough or wise enough to think about actually becoming a broadcaster back then. I think, like a lot of most broad, like a lot of broadcasters, I'm kind of a failed athlete that I still thought in my warped mind that I'd become a professional football player, even though I was, 5'10" and 150 pounds with mediocre speed and talent. But I actually did believe that until about until finishing high school, I think. And I was going to go to McGill University and play football and take phys ed. And at the last second, I sort of had a thought to myself, do I want to be a gym teacher? Nothing wrong with gym teachers. It was always my second choice. Or do I really want to do something in sports? Hopefully professional sports. And so I took journalism at Carleton with the hopes of being some sort of sports reporter or broadcaster. Ended up being a news reporter for several years. There weren't a lot of sports jobs back then when I was just starting out, and finally got the chance to do some sports and ended up at TSN. So very lucky the way it all worked out.
No, and that's great. And talking about those early days, you started broadcasting with CJOH in Ottawa, which you mentioned is news. So the CTV affiliate for those watching, where you covered some news, covered a little bit of sports. But also with that, you won your first of few awards with the International Edward R. Murrow Award for News Reporting. What was it like to be recognized very early before in your career before moving to TSN?
Yeah, that was strange. I did a news series on, I think it was about saving money. When you watch the local news and they always have, and the stuff was pretty obvious, saving money, part one, don't spend as much. It was kind of like that. But we did some neat things. I remember doing an undercover, my first undercover investigation. I wore a hidden camera and I went into all these stores to try to negotiate for prices, which I'd never done before in my life. And I just always assumed the prices were right. So, you go into like a store that's selling couches and this price is $1,000. And I'd say, how about 800? And sure enough, like 80% of the time, the guy would say, okay, 900. And I didn't know that you could actually negotiate for goods. So I guess that's probably why we won the award. But quick story, we went to LA. I guess the Edward R. Murrow Awards, I knew nothing about awards or anything back then, especially news awards. And the award ceremony was in Los Angeles. And so I flew out there with my boss and I had a whole speech prepared because we already knew we'd won. And just as we were sitting, when they're about to announce a category, I said to my boss, how long should I speak for? And he goes, you're not going up, I'm going up. And I was like, oh. So that was my first lesson that the bosses really ruled the show, because he went up and gave the speech and I just sat there in my seat.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, you know what? He's laughing now because you're doing a great job with TSN. You moved to a whole category on your own, essentially, and we'll get into some of that. But you moved to TSN in 1998, and during the last 27 years, you've covered so many different events, from the IIHF World Juniors, Grey Cup, Super Bowl, and an event that is coming up, the Masters. How has that experience been for you to grow and develop in the industry? And how much fun do you have in the process, especially like we see you actually going to like Augusta or the RBC Open, like di these different events? How much fun is that for you?
Yeah, it's super fun. It's beyond a dream come true. Like when I was talking to you about, thinking about becoming a sports broadcaster back when I was in Ottawa, I wasn't thinking about going places like that, like Augusta National or covering a Stanley Cup final or a Super Bowl. I just wanted to be the local sportscaster on CJOH TV. So I, cover Ottawa 67s games and Ottawa Rough Riders games back then. I didn't dream big. And so, when you mention all those things, you don't really stop and think about it while you're doing it. But it's yeah, that's it's certainly been beyond my wildest dreams, the how lucky I've been to go to all those things. Augusta, I used to watch the Masters when I was a kid. It was always my favorite event. And I can remember thinking in my head, man, I'll never get there. I'd heard all the stories about how impossible it was to get tickets. And so to be able to go there, whatever it is, 12 or 13 times now and cover that tournament is, yeah, it's been incredibly lucky. Like I said, I try to not think about it. And maybe when I'm old in the rocking chair, we'll sit back and think about it. But it's hard not to go, it's hard not to just think of that young kid in Ottawa who had any idea he'd get anywhere outside of the city to be able to cover all these things. It's been crazy, crazy lucky.
We'll talk about Augusta National. If you ever need a co-anchor or even a cable guy, I'll come with you. I'll be the guy like a caddy for you and help
Yeah,
set
the number, Ryan, would love you have you, by the way. Yeah, that is the one place I think that I get more. Hey, is there any chance
Oh,
you could sneak me
100%.
on there?
100%.
Yeah, it is a magical place for sure.
Now, I was talking with a colleague of yours, Lindsay Hamilton, and she was on the broadcast a couple episodes before you. And there's a nickname going around for you in the industry, Mr. Forbes. We want to hear the story. How's Mr. Forbes getting there? I have to ask.
Well, first of all, it's not a great nickname because it's actually my middle name, but this is all the product of Jeff O'Neill and his imagination. So for your watchers, listeners that don't watch Overdrive on TSN or listen to it, Jeff sometimes they have to fill 3 hours a day, and so he tends to make stuff up sometimes when there's dead air. So we were doing the World Juniors this past Christmas time, and one of my friends came up to the booth to say hi to me. I'm from Ottawa, so I have a lot of friends there. And my best friends call me Forbes. I don't know how that happened, just because it was my middle name and they wanted to call me something different. And I think they liked Forbes better than James. So he calls me Forbes, and Jeff hears him and goes, "Why do you call him Forbes?" And I say, "Oh, that's my middle name, Forbes. And some of my buddies call me Forbes." So Jeff goes on the radio and says, one day he goes, "You're not going to believe this, what I found out in Ottawa, guys. James Duthie, James is not his real name. He changed his name. His name is Forbes, and he changed his name for TV," which is a complete and utter obliteration of the truth. But this is what he does on a day-to-day basis. So now, within 5 minutes, somebody had changed my Wikipedia page or whatever, apparently, to Forbes, and now I get Forbes all the time, which is fine. I actually think, in a way, like Forbes Duffy sounds more like a cool TV name probably than James. So I don't mind Forbes. If you want to call me Forbes, if you see me on the streets, I'm good with that. My buddies are mad though, because that was always their name,
Yeah, now they gotta figure out a new nickname for you.
Yeah, it sounds a little pretentious though, like Forbes Duffy the seventh, I
Yeah.
think I actually am James Forbes, like the fifth or the sixth.
Oh,
My
okay.
dad, yeah, my like his old Scottish thing, and everybody was James Forbes, and when I had a son, my dad was like, he's got to be James Forbes. And my wife saying, no, that's not going to happen. It ends right here.
Yeah. Speaking of overdrive, I gotta say it, Hayes is a fraud. Just tossing that out there. gotta go punches. Yeah. So now that we know that there's a lot of fun off the camera, especially with O'Neal and a bunch of the guys, one key question for you. If you had to give the aux cord to any fellow broadcaster, who would it go to and why?
So meaning like to tape all their behind the scenes stuff or what?
Sort of music. Like if you were jamming to some music in the background between sets or while you're driving to Augusta or something music. Like that. Yeah.
Oh man, that's a great question. It would not be Jeff. Definitely would not be Darren Drager, although he plays some good country. And my daughter's really gotten me into country. Cheryl Pounder's more of an old time rock and roll person. So God, I don't think I would trust anyone with the music. It would have to be somebody. I tell you what, like on our golf trips, no, but that's a producer, Jamie Rydell. He's got really good taste in music. He likes good 80s, 90s stuff. But maybe one of the football guys, like a Luke Wilson or Davis Sanchez, probably have more along the lines of my taste. And Lindsay Hamilton too. I not that I've ever let her choose the music, I think, when we've driven together anywhere, but I put a lot of faith in Lindsay Hamilton on something like that as well.
Okay, that's good to know. Speaking of Lindsay Hamilton, I asked her the same question. I'm going to ask you, what's one key attribute about Lindsay that people don't know or that you have fun with that, is a good time to be around?
Oh, she's got an incredible golf swing.
Okay.
That's what I would say. I could say a lot more great traits about Lindsay. She's one of the best people I've ever met. Exactly the way she is on air. She is off the air. A ton of fun, super nice, incredibly good at her job. Whenever she fills in for me, I always joke when if I miss a few Leaf games, like if I have to go to the Super Bowl and miss a Leaf game or something, she always fills in. And within 5 minutes of the game starting, I get all these replies on Twitter asking me to never come back. So, and I understand. So I could say all those things, but you know all those things about her. So I would just say that she's got a very good golf swing. Her complete game is not perfect yet because I don't think she gets to play a ton. But Lindsay has like the most golf potential, I think, of anybody at the network. And you know how much I love golf. So that's what I will eternally judge her on.
Yeah, she did say that you are the master of golf. So definitely a lot.
I don't know about golf, more like getting her out on golf courses for me. It's my only real talent.
Fair enough. Well, going back to yourself and your awards, I'm going to highlight a few things. So I know we talked about the Edward R. Murrow Award earlier, but you are also an 8-time Canadian Screen Award winner for your coverage during TSN free agency, your work during the 2011 NHL All-Star Game, Olympic coverage, and you also won the 2009 Excellence in Sports Broadcasting Award. Lastly, you were given the key to the city in Ottawa in 2022. What is it like for you to see all of your hard work and dedication pay off?
Well, thank you. I mean, awards are, they're kind of silly things. I don't think anybody cares about Canadian Sportscaster Awards too much. Thank you for rhyming them off, though. My mom, my dad's not with us anymore. They always, I think, liked it the best when that happened. But it to me, it's just about, God, I'm going to sound like one of these Oscar speech or athlete speech. I don't mean to, but if you win an award for Trade Center, there's 100 people working on that show, right? It's the most complicated show. The director is incredible. All the camera people are incredible. You have every analyst in the studio. So, maybe because I'm the host, they end up throwing an award my way for it, but it's only because TSN's a really good place to work. And the reason you said off the top 27 years, which I hadn't even done the calculations in my head. So the reason I've been there so long is because we have awesome people. And that's why it's such a fantastic place to work, because we put out a good product all the time because of all the people in front of the scenes and behind the scenes. So, if I'm lucky enough to get recognized for something, it's because of that. Yeah, it's just a really, really, really good place to work, and I think I luck into most of the other stuff. I'm just a beneficiary of everybody else's work, really.
Well, I have to say, from a viewer that has watched TSN for years on years now, it's been a pleasure watching you and the work that you and the rest of the crew do, because it's something to tell a story as a broadcaster and kind of welcome people into your like homes and things like that, right? And the work that you guys do really resonates with a lot of sports fans. And I know I was talking to some of my buddies about the podcast and the series finale we're doing, and they're like, "Oh, who are you getting?" And I said, "Oh, well, one of the people is James Duffy," and they're like, "Oh, that's awesome! Like, he does such great work." And so it definitely resonates. And the awards, like you said, they toss it your way, but the production work that is done behind the scenes, it means that the product is well received, right? So,
Yeah.
kudos
No,
to you.
thank. Well, I really appreciate you saying that. Like, it's, to be able to go on TV and, to cover all these events, and you kind of forget. It's the weirdest thing about television. I don't know if anybody's ever told you this before, is you kind of forget people are watching, right? Like, you're alone in a studio and there's a bunch of cameras, and you're just kind of doing, you're talking about hockey or golf or football or whatever it is with a bunch of your friends. And I only get reminded when I'll say something stupid and, blow up Twitter or something. They go, "Oh yeah, we're on TV. We can't say things like that." But yeah, I think that's the best part of the job, is that you just feel like you're sitting around watching a game with your buddies, and you get the privilege of talking about it. So, as I said, if people enjoy it, then that's a huge compliment to everybody that works on our shows.
For sure. Now, my last question for you, as you mentioned, 27 plus years doing in the industry broadcasting, what advice would you give to the next generation of young entrepreneurs that want to get into broadcasting, want to make a name for themselves and find themselves behind the screen one day?
First of all, before I answer that question, I've just been perousing your background. My favorite is the Expos hard cap at the back.
Yep.
So yeah, because I was like a massive Expos fan, and when you asked me the first question about getting into sports, that was probably where my love of sports truly began, with the Expos. I mean, I liked sports from a young age, but my first thing I fell in love with completely was the Expos. Tim Raines was my favorite athlete of all time. And I still get, when I still see that logo, like the hat or helmet or whatever, it just, you get those memories of when you're a kid. And that's probably what pushed me. I used to sit and listen to the games on the radio every single night, in French, because I only had an AM radio. And so that's how I learned French half the time, although I got all the terms wrong. So that's the coolest part of a very cool backdrop that you have.
Thank you.
Advice I would give, I'll always preface this by saying that it's been a long time since I broke into the industry, and I don't pretend to have expertise on what it takes to get into the industry now. I know it's really hard, first of all, because our business has shrunk. That first job I got at CJOH that I told you about, those were the days of when local newsrooms had 30 reporters. I had my little cubicle, and I'd come in and for a day shift, and there'd be 15, 20 other reporters out covering stories. And that just doesn't happen anymore. I'll go back to Ottawa sometimes, and there's hardly anybody there. The anchor's sitting at the desk by himself. There's no camera operators. They're all robotic cameras, and he's running his own teleprompter and his camera, and there's nobody. And I'm just shocked by how much as things have changed. So it's a really difficult business to get into right now, and I don't have the answers as to the secret to get into it anymore. I would say the basics are the same, that storytelling is the most important thing, whether you're telling that story on television, whether you're telling that story in writing, whether you're telling that story just by audio in radio or podcasts or whatever form that may be. And I think some people in media, when they get asked by young people, "Hey, I want to become a sports broadcaster," they'll say, "Turn and run the other way," because the media is shrinking so much that it's so hard to get a job. But I would never say that, because people tried to tell me not to get into it when I was starting. I, especially when I was a news reporter, people said, "Don't go to sports. Sports is a dead end street. There's no jobs there." And if you look up now, sports is kind of the last thing that exists that people have to watch live, and it's still doing well. So if I'd have listened to that advice back then, where would I be right now? So I think the world is always going to need good storytellers. It's just that the form of the storytelling, I don't know where it's going now. Half of it's done on TikTok and social media right now. I don't know where it's going to be in 5 or 10 years. So I'd always say pursue your dreams, learn how to tell a good story, be good at everything. And the last part would be have a backup plan, because you could get, if you're lucky enough to get a job or things don't work out, you need to say, okay, if I can't make it in this, if I can't be on TSN or whatever the job is, what else could I do? And I've had the same conversation with my kids, but all the things they, all the passions they pursue. I have a daughter who's doesn't want to be a sportscaster, but she's kind of my only one of my three kids that's kind of leaning towards doing things my way. And I go for it is what I tell her. Like, I mean, pursue your dreams with all the passion you have, but always have a thing. What would I, if this doesn't work out, what would I do? So I don't know if that's the greatest advice in the world. It's pretty simple, but it's about all I have.
No, and but it's true. It definitely resonates a lot. The advice that, like, as for me as a Special Olympics athlete, I've gone to speak to like elementary school kids or secondary school kids. I get asked a similar thing of like, oh, how should I get involved in sports, or how should I make my local team or something like that, right? And my advice is just dream big and stay humble, right? Because you never know what's going to come down the pipeline. But similar to you, it's again, you're mentioning like, yeah, it is a tough industry to break into, but just follow your dreams and that's the best you can do and see what happens, right?
That's awesome advice that you give. And yeah, like I said, a lot of people told me not to chase it. And I'm so glad that I did. I had very supportive parents who said, do whatever you want, right, in life. And I got really lucky to find a job that I love. Even if people that are listening to this don't want to go into sports, it's not easy to find a job that you're really happy with, whatever that may be. But I think that's a really important thing. If you're, if you're miserable when you go into work every day and you're just waiting for Friday night or the end of your shift, that's not a great way to live a life. So if there's a way to find something that, you're passionate at or that you just enjoy going to, I think that makes a huge difference. I had a couple of really crummy jobs when I was young. I worked construction one summer and I thought it was going to be, I thought I'd get all these big muscles and get a suntan. And I ended up, my job was sweeping out basements. So it was the most miserable I'd ever been. And I hated going to work all the time. And I worked at a beer store, which sounds fun, but it's the worst place to be because everybody's going out to a party and you're stuck in a fridge throwing out two floors of Molson. And so I'm very lucky that I found a job that I truly love. And you mentioned 27 years. Yeah, and just as I've said about a million times in this interview, I feel very fortunate.
Well, we're fortunate to be able to know you, see you on the TV, and it's been a great ride so far, and looking forward to what's to come. So, James, thanks so much for taking the time today. All the best, and we'll see you on the TSN screen.
Ryan, thank you so much for having me. You have one of the best backdrops on any podcast going, and I'm a massive fan of Special Olympics. So, congrats to all the success that you've had, and I hope the pod is equally successful.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Okay, buddy.